Dwayne, thank you. And we're just so thankful and grateful that God has given us another day of life here upon this earth, where you and I have the privilege and the honor of glorifying Him, our great God and Father in heaven. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know how happy we are that all of you are here. I know that we have several of the Hale and Baskin family here this morning, and we appreciate and want to continue to lift that family up in our prayers. We announced this morning about Glenda passing away. We will all miss her. She and Larry were devoted children of God, and we'll have more to say about that this afternoon at 2 o'clock. We hope that all of you will want to be here to show your respect and love for her family. We are glad that you're here this morning, and we hope and trust that all is well with you. What is the question of the day? A teacher always asked our class that when I was going to elementary school. What is the question of the day? It is not what will they do with President Trump, or when will I get my 1,200 stimulus check that is supposed to be coming, or what is the weather going to be like? That's one that people ask all the time, isn't it? Especially here in East Texas in the month of August. But there's only one really big question that looms in the mind of all of us that are here and even those that are not here. And actually, that is the question, are you really who you say you are? You know, back during the days of Christ, there were religious folk that would, on the outside, appear to be very righteous and very holy, but inwardly, Jesus described them as ravening wolves. They professed one thing, but they did another. They were not honest in their life before their fellow man. But who do you say, he asked, that I am? He had journeyed, you remember, to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and it was there in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew that they were making all kinds of assertions about who Jesus might be. And he asked them a question. He said, well, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you're Jeremiah the prophet, or maybe Isaiah, who died 700 years ago, but he's been reincarnated. And Christ turned to Peter and he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. Will the real Christian stand? That's what Christ was asking. Are you a genuine child of God? Are you a real Christian? You know, sometimes we hear a lot about people that counterfeit money. Several years ago, I preached a sermon on counterfeit Christianity. And in reality, that's what happens. You remember the old serial on television, To Tell the Truth? And, you know, we need people today that will stand up and tell the truth. It's time for those who really identify with Christ to be counted. We live in a world where to the, I guess you could say, with a lot of people that are unwilling to acknowledge that they are a child of God and that they are a Christian. I don't know whether they're ashamed of Christ or they're intimidated by dealing with that. But I know one thing, that God is asking us to do precisely what you have been singing this morning in this song. Stand up for Jesus. Will the real Christian stand up? You see, when it comes to the nitty-gritty, as we often say, there are very few who will stand up. Their seat is empty, and they have turned truth upside down. Well, you as God's people, and certainly all of us as God's people, have to turn the truth back around and start preaching the truth. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the only thing that will free you from your sin. So he is asking, will you stand up? Will you defend truth? Sometimes people are so ashamed of even being a member of the Church of Christ. I've seen our brethren do this. Sometimes people will say, well, where do you go to the church? And instead of saying the Church of Christ, they go, blah, blah, blah. And I said, where do you go to church? Blah, blah, blah. We're so afraid to acknowledge that we are, in fact, the children of the Almighty God who reigns in heaven. They claim to know God. Paul would write to Titus in Titus 1 and verse 16. He said, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. Let me ask you a question this morning. How would people judge you? Would they judge you to be a Christian by your actions, or would there be some big question mark over your life? I'm afraid the latter might be true. Sometimes people say, don't ask me. People think sometimes in the church that there are a lot of hypocrites. And I suppose probably there are. You know, I had a lady tell me one time, I asked her, I said, well, you know, why don't you come down to the Crockett Road Church and worship with us sometime? And she said, I would, but there are too many hypocrites. I said, do you still go to the ball games on Friday night? She said, yes. And I said, you think there might be some hypocrites there? Folks, I'm going to tell you, you find hypocrites anywhere. You'll find them at a ball game. You'll find them at Walmart. I'm not denying that you may find some in the church. It may happen. For the Bible says, even as Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Do you know that Satan is among us this morning? He is. Don't look at your neighbor. Now, he is among us. For wherever God's people go, Satan is there. He is trying to wrestle you away from God who is in heaven. You know, we have a lot of lies that are being told. Y'all been keeping up with Dr. Fauci and all this stuff that's going on about the mask? You know, isn't it amazing how false some people really are? People put a mask on against the world, but down deep inside, they are counterfeit, folks. Now, there's some things that I want to share with you this morning I think are really important. Number one, we must admit that everyone who claims to be a child of God is not actually a child of God. Now, how do we know the difference? Well, you have to look at the Bible and find out, what a child of God looks like. In terms of how he acts, in terms of how he speaks. If someone blows a bunch of profanity, I'm telling you he is not a genuine Christian. If an individual lives like the devil or like hell on earth during the week and comes to church on Sunday with a righteous look, he is not a genuine child of Almighty God. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, in verse 44, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. And you can rest assured that when the devil is whispering in your ear to do something that is wrong or is in violation of the Holy Scriptures, you know it is not God who is speaking. And when he speaketh a lie, Jesus said, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In the book of 2 Corinthians 11, and verse 14, Paul even went so far as to say something else about the demonic spirits of the world. He said, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. You know, our image or our picture in our mind of Satan is someone in a red suit with horns, maybe, carrying a pitchfork, all those kinds of things. That is not the way Satan will approach you. but he will approach you in white. He will come to you in sheep's clothing. But the Bible says that he is nothing more than a ravening wolf. But we got a lot of people who try to live like this. We got a lot of folks that try to live like a Christian and then live like the devil at the same time. And Jesus had something to say about that in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will despise the one and love the other, and you cannot serve God and Mammon." You ever thought about that? Satan and an angel of light costume? But that's the way he really is. The world doesn't see him that way. We ought to say, as Jesus does, "Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me. Not today, Satan. Not today. You're not going to wrestle me away from God who is in heaven." Sometimes people are dislabeled. You are not who they say you are. Now, just because someone says you're not a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. And just because someone might look at you and say, "Well, you're not a Christian," that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. But it could mean that maybe you're not living the life of a child of God. And maybe you need to come back to God and ask for restoration. And I'm afraid that if the truth were known today, there are many people that need to come back to Christ for restoration. You see, there's a real danger of counterfeit Christianity. And you know what? If we're not measuring up and we're not living like we ought to live as God's children, we're influencing the rest of the world to do the same thing that we are doing. But if we live genuine, upright lives, lives that are righteous before God, we are setting a tremendous example for other people to follow. But there is a danger in counterfeit Christianity. Sometimes people think that just because someone claims to be a Christian, that they are, in fact, a child of God. But that does not mean so. You know, you could take a placebo instead of medication, and it would be a big, big difference. Listen to Christ in Matthew 7 and verse 15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, and you will know them by their fruits." Now, what he's saying there is you're going to know a Christian not by what he says. You could stand up here all day and confess that Christ is Lord and Savior, but he may not be Lord and Savior of your life. You could stand up here all day and say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus to be the Son of God," and then leave out of this edifice and go live like the world lives and forget the commitment that you make to Christ. You know, the Bible says that we're not to go beyond what is written. We're not. "For he that goeth onward and abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath not God." And Paul says it also in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. You know, the Bible is so simple, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that even a young third grader who reads on a third grade level could understand and comprehend what God is saying? And the Bible says we're not to change the Word of God. A lot of people want to change it to fit the life that they want to live. Revelation, you will remember that it was Jesus who said that we're not to add to the Word of God or take away from it. "Lest our name be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life, and the plagues that are written therein be added unto our life." Let me ask you this morning, what kind of life are you living? Are you living a counterfeit Christianity? Or are you living real before God? In 1 John 1, verse 5 through 7, John says, "For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, and then we get out here and we walk in darkness, and we lie, and we do not practice the truth, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us every day from our sin. But if we're not walking in light, and that's a big if, folks, if we're not walking in the light, there is something that is tremendously wrong. And Jesus said, not every one of you who say or who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, it's not words. You could say it all day long. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. We got a lot of people today that say, Lord, Lord. And a lot of people that are not walking in the light. And a lot of people that are not doing the will of God who is in heaven. That brings me to a second point. We can identify the true believer because they will have the power and the proper attitudes that can be changed concerning sin. In the book of John, chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 12, that God gives us the power to become the sons of God. He gives us that power. And we can identify a true believer by what they do. How close are you to God this morning? Are you living a counterfeit life? Or are you living genuinely before the Father who is in heaven? Do you say one thing and do another? That's counterfeit, folks. That's hypocrite. But if you claim to be a Christian and you walk as a Christian and you talk as a Christian, then that is, my friend, genuine Christianity. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Not. I've met people who said, well, you know, I think this concept of sin and the devil and God and all that has been all made up. There's no truth to it at all. I'm telling you it is true. And I'm telling you that it is right and that you are a sinner and I am a sinner that has been saved by the grace of Almighty God. And there is no other way. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. And we must live our lives on a higher plane. We must be better than the hypocrites. We must be better than the counterfeits. We must be genuine before our God who is in heaven. You know, one of our problems in the church today is we got a lot of warm folks. And what I mean by that is that you're as close to being cold as you are close to being hot. And Jesus said, because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3 and verse 17. And if we say that we have not sinned, it's not only that we really have sinned, but notice what he says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, who's him? God. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm going to tell you something. The book of Hebrews says there's one thing it's impossible for God to do, and that is to lie. That's impossible for the God of heaven to lie. Now, men lie. That's why in Revelation 21:8, when the Bible describes the horrors of an eternal hell, it describes those who are going there, fornicators, adulterers, liars. He mentions that. And even those that make a lie. We got people today that say crime pays. But Jesus, on the other hand, and Paul writes in the book of Romans 6 and 23, that the wages of sin is death. It is the curse that God places on those who refuse to honor and do His will. The wages, that's payment. That's what we're talking about. And just because you claim to be a Christian doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Factually speaking, just because you show up down at the church house doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. We got a lot of people sometimes that get baptized and they think they got their ticket punched and I'm ready to go to heaven. I've been baptized. Well, that's wonderful. That's fine. But it's more to it, folks, than just getting in water. We are to be baptized properly. Jesus taught that in the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And it became the theme of every apostolic sermon that was preached in the New Testament. But it is not enough just to be baptized. You know, we tell the world who claim all you got to do to go to heaven is just believe in God. And we turn around and we say, well, it's more than just believing in God. And folks, I'm telling you this morning, it's more than just getting in a body of water and having your sins washed away. We must live faithful unto God after we have been baptized. There may be as many baptized believers in Palestine this morning as there are right here. But it's more than just being immersed in water. We must bring to an end the sin, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, that doth so easily beset us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Paul writes in Romans 3 and verse 23. Are you short of the glory of God this morning? But thirdly, we can identify true believers because they will keep the Lord's command. Sometimes people want to pick and choose. Sometimes people want to read through the Bible and say, well, I see where God says that we are to love one another. I can do that. But then we read over in the book of Matthew 5, 44 and 45, where Jesus said to love your enemy and pray for them that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. And we say, well, now I can love my brother, but I'm not going to love my enemy. You're not going to do God's will? When the Bible talks about the fact that we are to come before the Lord and worship Him, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Some people look at that and say, well, that doesn't mean me. I'm telling you, every word in this book is applicable to your life and my life. And a man that tells you he's not going to keep the commandment of Jesus, stay away. Don't be entangled with those who only profess Christianity. You see, Jesus said it this way. I mean, summed up right here, isn't it? If you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes on to say in that same 14th chapter of the book of John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I've heard people say, well, you know, I just can't keep all the commandments. Yeah, you can. Sometimes you can do things with the help of God that you think you can't do. I'll give you an example. If you notice how some nurses will spend 20 minutes, if you go to the doctor, maybe your quarterly checkup, and some nurses will spend 20 minutes looking for a blood vein while a mosquito can locate it within 5 seconds. And they can do it while singing a tune in the dark. I'm telling you, there are things that you can do that you may not believe you can do. But it all boils down to this, doesn't it? The commandment of Christ is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second commandment that the young man didn't ask for, but he got it anyway, was to love your neighbor even as yourself. Jesus said, keep my commands. Get rid of the lies and let truth come through the wall. Get rid of it. The Bible condemns lying. It's one of the most heinous sins before God, according to the Word of God. And in 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6, the Bible says, now by this we know, listen to that, we know him. And if we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth, again, is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him, and he who says he abides in him ought to himself walk as Jesus walked. He left us an example, Peter said, that we should follow in his steps. That is where he walked. Fourthly, we can identify true believers because they have separated themselves from the world. Sometimes people look at Christians and they say, well, they're just worldly Christians. Let me tell you something this morning. You can no way be a worldly Christian any more than you could be a heavenly devil. You can't do it. The world entices us to sin against our God who is in heaven. For Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul gave the antidote to that. And he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then I think of 1 John 2, verse 15 and 17. Don't love the world. The ways of the world is what he's talking about. He's not talking about the cosmos. But he says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. Listen to that, folks. That's profound. That's coming from the pen of the Apostle John. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. But fifthly, we can identify true believers because they know the truth. How much truth do you know this morning? How much of the Bible do you really know? Can you quote it? Some people can quote last week. What happened at a football game? They can talk about what happened at a soap opera, but you can't remember the Word of God. You know, in the Old Testament, every Jewish young man was taught to know the law. And by the age of 12, they knew it. They could quote it from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Deuteronomy. I'm thankful that our young people today are being taught the Word of God. And they've been taught to remember the Word of God. But a lot of people are not. John 8:32, if you know the truth will set you free. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. How well do you emphasize the Bible in your home? Do you emphasize Bible reading? Is it important to you? Listen to 1 John 2:18 and following. Little children, it is the last hour, he says, and as you have heard that this Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists. You know, we got a lot of people today believe the Antichrist, one person. Several years ago, people were saying, Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. Some are saying Donald Trump is the Antichrist, is he? No. I think I can speak with authority and tell you he's not the Antichrist. It's been a long time since we had any president in office who stood up for the name Jesus. But the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And to depart from God is a terrible thing, folks. It is a terrible thing. Peter said it in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. It is better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then to depart from it. Leave God. And we have a lot of people to do that. But where are you this morning? Where are you? Are you a child of God? You know this little marker right here, they can determine whether or not your currency is genuine or whether it's fake or whether it's counterfeit. And they can take that little pen. Most of the time they do it in most stores, and they'll draw it across there to see if it's genuine or not. How do we know whether someone is teaching the truth or not? This little book right here. What does it say? What does it say? We can identify true believers because they accept Jesus as the Christ. For 1 John 2:22 and following, but who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. And he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Our only hope this morning, folks, is for us to come to Jesus and come as one who yields himself to God's book, the Bible, and then standing up for the Christ that we claim to love. We ought to walk as Jesus walked. We have to change our thinking and start doing that which is good. And if you believe on him, repent of your sin. That means change the way you're living, folks. That's what it's talking about. Don't come up here and get baptized and get wet and go out and live like hell. That's what he's saying. But he says, live like a child of God. And if you believe in him and you're willing to repent of your sin and be baptized, you can become the real thing. The real thing. Simply a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. And God knows whether we're genuine or whether we are fake. And we have got to be born twice in order for us to go to heaven. Born again of the water and the Spirit. But if you reject Christ, you are lost. You're separated from God. Some people live as if life will go on to an abrupt end. It doesn't. Life does come to an end. You'll draw your last breath. You'll whisper your last word. You'll say goodbye to your friend for the last time. That's why we have to have the power of God in our life. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, I appeal to you based upon the Word of God, the true Word of God. Stand up. Make your way to the front of this building with a penitent heart and a mouth that's ready to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, and then to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sin, and then live your life harmoniously with the will of God as a Christian, a real Christian. Let us stand and let us sing.